Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now, the interesting thing about Romans here is in chapter 8, Paul completely switches gears. And so all this depressing stuff that I was giving you guys for the last year, 2 years of you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. And by the way, your decisions, if bad things are happening to you, it may be because you have poor decisions. Poor decision, I did something and messed up my shoulder. Poor decision, I took too much of something. And then the other poor decision, I ate something hard and broke my tooth. There you go. So poor decisions, amen. And so chapter 1 through 7, Paul says, listen, you're a sinner and you're condemned to hell and you have no hope. And this is an ugly picture. So for 2 years, I've been sending you guys home depressed. Praise God you kept coming back. Amen. Let's go back to church so we can leave depressed again. Let's go. Come on, chop, chop, kids. But we've learned, and I think in 1 through 7, what we learned is sin is your choice if you live in it. Now, we live in a sinful world, but if you have it, if it is in your life, it's because you are making those decisions. You know, there's a difference between a community sin, if you will, and a personal sin. And the personal sin is us making poor decisions, and then, of course, we have to live with the consequences. A community sin is when our society is living sinfully, and we just have to deal with that. There's a difference. You see what I'm saying? Well, we get to chapter 8. And when we get to chapter 8, guys, this is good, because this is victory. This is the good chapter. This is where we can take a deep breath and go, whew, okay, he's not going to call me a sinner and tell me I'm going to hell anymore. I've actually got some hope here. I actually got a promise that something can be different. So let's look at 8:1. In 8:1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We see a difference here in verse 1. He says, now there is therefore now. So literally that therefore encompasses the first 7 chapters of him telling how sinful we are and that we're sinners and we're condemned and it's just an ugly situation. And then he goes in here and he goes, but you know what? For those of you that know Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation. Now you think about that. The victory that we have is that we have life and we have life everlasting if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now if you don't, you still fit in 1 through 7 and you need to go back and reread it because that's your history or that's your life, your future. And you go, well, that's pretty depressing. Hey, I didn't tell you about it. I just said go back and read it. But in 8, he says, for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, guys, there's so many people that I talk to and they say, oh, well, I know Jesus. No, you know who Jesus is. I was talking to a friend here last week or whatever it's been, and they said, well, I tried Christianity. No, you tried the idea or you tried the religion side of it. You didn't try the relationship side. No, I tried Christianity and it just wasn't for me. Well, I want you to, and I told him, I said, I don't want you to try Christianity. I want you to try Jesus. You see the difference. This isn't about religion, guys. This isn't about, oh, let me go to church and let me be a do-gooder. Or a good doer or whatever it is. This is about, let me see who Jesus is. And so I said, well, let me ask you this. You said that you were, right? You were a Christian. Yes. Okay. Now you tell me God doesn't exist. That it's whatever. God doesn't. Yes. I said, okay, you know who I am, right? Yes. Is there ever a time in your life that you could say I never existed? No. Why? Well, because I know you do. Yeah, because you know me. For you to say God does not exist tells me you never knew him. Because if you knew him, Jesus even says that once you taste the goodness, you'll never deny it. And so I said, listen, you were never a Christian. And so therefore you have always been condemned, because once you're a Christian, the Bible says you're no longer condemned. Once you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, you're no longer condemned. You have victory. And so to get somebody to understand that you can't try Christianity and walk away from it. You can know Jesus as your Savior and willfully make poor decisions and walk away from glorifying Him, or walk away from living in Christ, as 8:1 says, but you'll never, ever deny His existence. If you can deny the existence of God or the existence of Christ or the existence of the Holy Spirit, you've never had a relationship. You never knew Him. And so therefore, God says, Jesus says, if you deny me before men, my Father will deny you. See, there's a huge difference, guys. When we look at 8:1 and He says when you're in Christ, don't come in here thinking you have religion because you still have nothing. Don't think you're a good person because you still have nothing. Don't think that in your own works that you're going to get to heaven because you still have nothing. 8:1 says that you are in Christ. In. And therefore He is in you. Now, you can still mess up, but you are not condemned. See, there's a huge difference, guys. Don't mistake religion for relationship. Don't do it. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many times you go to church. I had a lady stop at the house last night, and it was a surprise visit, and man, I love her so much. She is such a joy, just over the top. And I'm just going to tell you, you talk about somebody that can talk. Is she in here? Let me check first. I'm still going to talk about her, but either way. All right, so I'm not going to give her name, but if she decides, she told me she'd come to church. So if you're watching, I'm talking to you. For those of you who don't know, it's a live stream. So if you don't want to be on YouTube, don't step in the center aisle. And she was telling me, though, she stopped by the house, and I mean, this woman can... I would get lightheaded and pass out if I talked like she talks. You guys know I can talk. I am like, what do they call them, mimes? Is it a mime? Where you stand there and go, right? And they don't speak. Is that what it? Thank you. I'm like one of them compared to her. You know what I'm saying? And she said, we were talking, and she said, she goes, do you remember when you offended me? Okay, for you visitors, I do that often. And I said, I remember offending you, but you need to help me with what that particular occasion was about that you're talking about. And she said, you told me that I love my husband more than I love God. And I said, oh yeah, I remember that one. And she said, you know why I was offended? Because you were right. And I just didn't like hearing it, because the truth hurts. And I said, well, you know, the coolest part is, though, is you went home and you thought about it, and then you recognized, you realized that, hey, you know what? My love for my husband was greater than my love for God. And she said, and I was just going through the routine. She had religion. Then her husband dies. She still has religion because now she's in love with the memory of her husband more than God. And so she still has religion. And then one day, Jesus gets just, bam, grabs hold of her. And then she has a relationship. Her whole life changed. She got it. She understood. Now there's no condemnation because she is in Christ. Guys, I just want you to understand the difference between religion and relationship. Some of you teenagers, you're in here and you go, oh, I got to go to church. I got to hear about Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is? And do you believe it? Because your school, I mean, obviously with graduation and everything, and we got so many people out today because they're out partying. But hey, God will condemn them. It's all right. And so I'm just picking. If you're one of them... All right, so, but here's the thing. You're taught so much junk in the world. And then you gotta work through religion versus relationship. Like, you got to process this information, because if you go out into the world, they'll tell you evolution, that you came from monkeys. Listen, you might act like one, but you didn't come from one. There's a difference. And so you got to work through religion, do good, be good, give and help, and that'll get you there. And no, it's being in Christ that gets you there. You can do good, be good all you want, but if you're not in Christ, you have no hope. You're condemned. And that's what 8:1 says. And guys, listen, the victory we have is that we don't have to stay condemned. We have a choice to move and be in Christ to where we're not condemned to death and hell, which is what we deserve, by the way. And you go, I don't deserve that. Oh, pride. You're the first one. Don't you hate me sometimes? Verse 2. Look here in verse 2. 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And we go, the law, we're still talking about the law? Listen, I would love to change the law, but I can't change the law. He's not talking about the law in respects of, hey, you got to follow the law, you got to do this, you got to do that. He says, hey, listen, the law, meaning that this is set, this is established, this doesn't change. And so the law of doing good can sends you to hell. The law being without Christ sends you to hell. The law that tells you that this is how you should live, that'll send you to hell. But the law of God, the law of the Holy Spirit, means that it is established that this is fact, this is actual, and this is what it takes to get to heaven. And so it is the law of the Holy Spirit, the law of God that we live by, that we are redeemed, that we are freed from. Look here, for the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life, the fact that the Holy Spirit gives us life. I hate when I do that. I think that's the first time in 10 years I've dropped my Bible preaching. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law that was written on the books. You see the difference? It's in Christ, guys, that we're delivered. You got to see this. We're not condemned. We have victory. Listen, to be quite honest with you, I feel like Job. I was talking to Milton and Kevin this morning, and I said, man, you know, I got busted shoulder. I got a blown shoulder. How do I put it? I got a blown shoulder, a busted tooth, and blisters. I feel like Job. Right? But check this out. Because I am in Christ, not of religion, but of relationship. I am in Christ. I have victory. It doesn't matter what happens to this old body. It doesn't matter what goes on here. What matters is from here to there. Between my heart and Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm not condemned. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I have life. Guys, that's what I want you to see this morning, is you got life if you are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're not in Christ, you still have, you're hopeless. I'd love to tell you something to make you feel good, but I got nothing. Right? I know, that was like no hope, was it? Some of you are like, really? You couldn't make me feel any better than that? No, I wish I could. But then you know what I'd be doing if you're sitting here and you have no hope, in other words, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're condemned to death and hell. And for me to make light of that, or for me to pretend like you have something you don't, I would send you out of here deceived. I'm not, my goal is not to make you feel good. I don't even have words for that. My goal is to teach truth so that you clearly understand. Now today I want you to feel good that you have victory in Jesus, that we're no longer condemned, which means we no longer have to pay the price of being sinful. Now, we're still going to be held accountable. There's still going to come a day. We go through the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ means that we go and we are what's going to happen is the rapture is going to happen. And you go, I don't believe in the rapture. Well, that means you have no relationship. Clue number one, you need Jesus. The rapture is going to happen. And when the rapture happens and we go, now we go into heaven. And the first thing we're going to do is the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's just for Christians. Not to condemn us, because listen, there's no condemnation. We're delivered. Amen. It's not to condemn us, but it is to look at us and go, okay, what have you done for me? And you go, oh, we're back to good works. Yeah. He's going to say, you knew better. This is what you understood. This is what you knew to do. And you still did nothing with it. You took your Christian walk and you threw it to the side and lived your own life. And yeah, we're going to be judged for that, but not condemned. There's a big difference. Big difference. And so when we look at this, there's no condemnation if you are in the Spirit, or because of the Spirit of life, if you are in Christ. Look here in 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, how many here have kept the perfect law? You've never sinned. I'm the only one? Okay. That's what it's talking about, the law and the flesh. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, meaning that we can't be perfect and we can't keep the law perfect, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in the likeness of sin. Don't misunderstand this. Jesus did not sin. I often ask the question, can Jesus sin? Is it possible for Jesus to have sinned? And some people will go, hey, I'm just curious. How many think that Jesus could sin? Wow. How many is not playing the game? Yeah. How many think it was absolutely impossible for Jesus to sin? Okay, so there's many of you that are just not going to commit. Man, I'm telling you, you guys take all the fun out of it. Listen, I want you to see that he came in the likeness of flesh, in the likeness of us, that sinful flesh, but he didn't sin. See, Jesus could not have sinned. Let me help you understand this real quick. I've been down this, so those of you who have heard me, you're going to hear it again. But I just want clarity. I want you to have understanding. Jesus could not have sinned. And you go, I know, because he was God. No, that has nothing to do with it. And you go, really? Well, kind of does, but really doesn't. It doesn't fit the reason. The reason that Jesus could not have sinned and that we are sinful is because we all come from Adam. Eve came from Adam. Remember, God took the rib from Adam and made Eve, right? And so therefore she had the sin nature. Every human being born has a sin nature because it's passed through the men. So everybody can thank their fathers. Amen. That you're welcome, girls. No problem. But Jesus didn't have a human father. Jesus had a righteous father. And so therefore, we get our nature from the man, the father. My girl's got a sin nature because I'm sinful. You got a sin nature because your father was sinful. And therefore, you have the sin nature, but you can't pass the sin nature on. Only the man passes it on. And so therefore, because Jesus was born of a virgin, that's why the virgin birth was so important, guys. It's because Jesus was born of a virgin, he didn't have a human father, and therefore he did not have the sinful nature. He had the righteous nature. And so it would be just as hard for Jesus to have sinned as it is for us to be perfect. Because he has got to satisfy his nature, just like we want to satisfy our sinful nature. And so when you ask the question, could Jesus have sinned? The answer is no. And you go, well, then what was the purpose of him being tempted on the mount in Matthew chapter 4? Because Hebrews says, if you look in Hebrews chapter 2, from 2 to 4, it says that Jesus went through all of that so that he could have compassion on us because he can understand what we've been through. In other words, because he was all human as well as all God, his body understood what it was like to go 40 days without food and water. Now, listen, these are all God-sized temptations. Man can't go 40 days without water. You will look like a prune that's been laid out in the sun. In other words, there will be nothing left. Now, we can go 40 days without food. Not without vitamins, though. So drink juice if you want to try this. But for Jesus, he could go because he was God. We're never going to be tempted to turn bread stones into bread. These are God-sized temptations. We're never going to be taken to the top of the mountain and shown all that we can see and say, hey, if you bow down to me, you can get all of this. It'll all be yours. This is never going to happen for us. And Jesus went through all of that for one reason. You and me. So that he would understand and be and have compassion for us, according to Hebrews. I'm telling you, when you are in Christ, God has done so much. God has eliminated the law and brought in the relationship. And then he went through so much just so that he could deliver us and have compassion on us and love us and be merciful to us and be grace. I mean, just absolutely gracious to us. Amen. And we go, why did he do that? Well, because he loved us. And all of this is a benefit of us being in Christ, not under the law. Guys, do you see the difference? Am I helping you out? Somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you guys, when you understand what it is to be in Christ, you understand that you have a victory that you never had before. You have a strength that you never had before. You have a deliverer that you never had before. You have a comforter that you never had before. You have a buckler that you never had before. I'm just telling you, when you're in Christ, this isn't religion of everything up to you. This is relationship of the one that all-powerful is going to deliver you, and he's going to carry you, and he's going to love you. A relationship means that you have somebody there that loves you and is going to take care of you. A religion means you got to do all you can do and be as good as you can do, and hopefully you'll get there one day. Do you see the difference? And Paul says, I've already established 1-7 what religion looks like. Now in chapter 8, I'm going to establish relationship. Relationship. You know, listen, we go, oh, we can't do that. I can't do that. Well, so you know what? Sometimes in your own, you can't. But according to Philippians, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's the relationship, and that's the difference. So here Paul goes on. He says, in 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell so that you and I won't experience it. Guys, that's your difference. Of religion and relationship. That's your difference of the law of the law and then the law of the Spirit. And when we grab hold of the difference and we really understand, because I'm afraid today's Christian really does not understand the difference between religion and relationship. And I think that some of you guys come here, even in Connecting Point, you come here, and as much as I try to teach clearly, and the Sunday school class teachers, they teach clearly, and Wednesday night, we teach clearly the Word of God. I think some people still come in with the wrong idea, and they have this preconceived notion of what church is, and you go in, as somebody once put it, yeah, I got religion tonight. Yeah, I'm going to the religion thing now. It's not about religion. Religion has nothing to do with it, guys. When you come here or you come to learn about the Bible, if you go to a church and they're not teaching you clearly the Word of God so you can understand it, so you can realize that you need this relationship. If you don't have that, then you have no hope. You might as well stay home because your outcome is not going to be any different. You can go to church every day that says you need religion and you still have no hope. I'm telling you, this is in relationship. You walk out of here and you're like, oh yeah, okay, I heard a good message and so now I got to be good again. That's my fix for the week. Are you kidding me? I'm not trying to give you a fix for the week. Joel Osteen made this statement. He said, people don't need doctrine. They're tired of doctrine. What they need is encouragement to get through the next week. No, you don't. You need doctrine to be strengthened to go through the storms. You need doctrine to be encouraged when you're down. You need doctrine to build your foundation on. So when those storms come on, you're not wiped away. You're still standing strong. Can you imagine the strength of a lighthouse, the foundation of a lighthouse? Man, those storms, some of them are built like right there in the water, man. And those storms come. And the waves are crashing and crashing and crashing for years and years and years. And they're still standing. Why? Because their foundation is solid, rock solid. It's not going to be moved. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you have religion, your foundation is sand. But if you have Jesus Christ, you can withstand any storm, anything that comes along. I'm telling you. I remember reading one time of a incident where the ship was coming in, and that ship gets a signal and tells it which direction to turn. You need to turn 12 degrees to the left or whatever it is, and the response from the ship says, no, you need to turn 12 degrees to the right. And they respond, no, you need to turn 12 degrees to the left now. And the ship captain responds, no, you need to turn 12 degrees to the left. To which the voice comes back and says, no, you need to turn 12 degrees to the right. And a ship captain comes on. He says, I am the captain of this battleship. And he goes on with all of his credentials and everything else. To which the voice responds, I am the lighthouse. You need to turn. You see, why? Man, solid foundation. And even if that ship was coming, that lighthouse wasn't going to move. When danger's coming, the lighthouse doesn't move. When sin comes, the lighthouse doesn't move. And I'm going to tell you, you are a lighthouse. If you're in Christ Jesus, you don't have to move to sin. You don't have to move to the ways of the world. You don't have to move to all of this. And why? Because we have victory. And listen, they may oppress us, they may attack us, but we don't have to move. We stand where we're at because we are in Christ. We're not in good works. We don't have religion, we have relationship. Guys, when you read this, please say, listen, 7 was depressing. Oh, I mean, 1 through 7, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die and go to hell. I'm going to die and go to hell. I'm going to die and go to hell. But 8 says, no, it's in Christ, and this is why. And I'm telling you guys, you got to grab hold of relationship, not religion. So many of you to this day still walk around believing in religion. I don't have religion. I have a relationship. I don't teach religion. I teach relationship. I'm not delivered by religion. I'm delivered by relationship. And that's what Paul's saying. Listen, you want hope? You want victory? You're no longer condemned if you're in that relationship with Jesus Christ. And so many of us, which is crazy, so many of us throw away the relationship in Jesus for a whim. We throw away a relationship in Jesus, which is life, for a life eternally, for something momentarily. I remember I was buying some things off of Craigslist, and how many like the deal on Craigslist? Yay, man. All right. So anyway, I'm buying some stuff off of Craigslist, and I call the guy, and he's in Boston. Now, to give you an idea, I'll buy things off of Craigslist anywhere in the United States. Usually, the reason is because I know somebody in just about every city of the United States. And so it's real easy for me to call up a friend and go, hey, will you go pick this up? And you pick it up. And then I'll call another friend if I know they're going through that way. And they'll pick it up. And man, it might take me a month and a half to get my stuff, but I don't pay shipping on big items because I have friends that eventually will pick it up and bring it to me. And right? Isn't that cool? Amen. And so... so I found these things that I was looking for in Boston. And I said, all through email, and I said, listen, they wanted this price. I said, I'll give you this price. And he's like, if you can get it today, they're yours. So I sent an email. I said, hold on, let me call a friend of mine. He's 20 minutes from you. So I called a friend of mine, and I said, hey, can you go pick these up for me today? This is how much money you need. You get it, and then I'll get them later. And he's like, sure, John, no problem. And so he's like, I said, well, look, I'll give you the email. So he emailed this guy, and they established the time to pick it up. They were going to pick it up later, like 4:30 that day. This was 10 o'clock in the morning. And of course, my friend had to go to the bank, withdraw the $250, and then he was going to meet him, pick up the stuff, take it back. And then I was talking to Milton, and Milton's like, hey, I might be going to Boston. I go, dude, you can pick up my stuff, and I'll give you the money, and you can bring it back home. Amen, right? Use your friends. Use them. It's a good thing. And so... So anyway, we get all this done, and then about 2 hours later, I get a text, and the guy's like, hey, I just got an offer for $275, and so if you'll go to $300, I'll sell them to you. And I went, wow, this isn't a bidding war. We had an agreement. We had a deal. And I said, I'm sorry you sold your integrity for $25. I'm not interested in what you have anymore. Done. So many of us do exactly that because we have religion. That's why you're not solid. That's why you don't stay. Relationship, that's different. That's different. Relationship means you're going to hang in there. Relationship means you know who is there with you and who is going to take care of you and who is going to help you and who's going to support you. Relationship means you're in. And that's what we have with Jesus. But so many of us are like that guy on Craigslist. We sell our relationship for so little. You're easily bought. And if you're easily bought, that means you're cheap. And you know what we do with cheap things? Throw them away. You go, ouch. Listen, I'm walking around here preaching today and I can't do any leave. I can't do anything. I'm not real concerned about it if I hurt your feelings with truth today. Here we go. Verse 4. He condemns sin in the flesh at the end of 3 and then 4. It says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, there's really a pivotal point here, guys, where Paul says you're not condemned in the flesh. If you're not condemned if you walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And yet so many of us still choose to walk in the flesh. I have a friend of mine who's dying of cancer. And I've begged him to receive Jesus. And his comment was, I just don't know enough. I don't understand it yet. And I go, dude, it's by faith. You're never going to understand it. Just reach out. No, I got to know more. You're dying. What hope do you have? I got to know more. So I said, hey, here's what we'll do. Let's meet every week. I'll take you through the discipleship program. He's not even saved. I don't care. And I said, man, I will work around your schedules. I'll work around your medicines. I'll work around you. Man, I don't care. I don't care if it's in the morning or at night or any time in between. Listen, we will get together because you got to know. You're running out of time, possibly. But he wants to stay in the flesh because he doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. Hebrews 11:6 says, faith is the only thing that pleases God. Faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Guys, you can't walk in the flesh and expect to understand the things of the Spirit, because Paul goes on and he says that, and that's what he builds up to here. So in 4 he says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Do you see, guys, that your relationship is up to you? Oh, that goes back to what I was saying earlier in the first 7 chapters. What have you set your mind on doing? Have you set your mind on pleasing yourself? Or have you set your mind on pleasing God? Whatever you decide, that's what you're going to do. Oh, and don't do it all in the name of righteousness. Don't do it all in, oh, you're going to justify what you do because what you're doing looks good. So? So, If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not good enough. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not going to deliver you. If it doesn't line up with the things that Jesus say, you still have no hope. All you have is religion. And by the way, if you look at evolution, evolution is a religion by definition. You look up atheism is a religion by definition. It doesn't matter what you believe, it is a religion by definition. And I'm telling you, it's only through Jesus Christ you have the relationship and that you're delivered. And you can have all the religion in the world you want. And you can set your mind on all the things of the flesh, which, by the way, religion are things of the flesh. And you have no hope. But you set your things on the Spirit. Look here in 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then he goes on. Because the carnal mind is enmity, war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you have religion, you can't please God because religion's in the flesh. It's kind of like, let me help you understand the difference between religion and relationship. With your wife or your husband, your spouse, that's relationship, right? I mean, you have there's a level of trust that doesn't exist with others. There's a level of intimacy that doesn't exist with others. There's a level of doing things for that doesn't exist. There's a level of compassion, a level of mercy. Unless, of course, okay, I got to share this with you, right? So I made a statement, and Missy said something, and I was like, "When's the last time you've been kicked in the shin?" Right? Because she was just being funny. And Larry goes, "Hey, you need to meet my bitter half." All right. I'm sorry. Some of you will get that. It was horrible. I told Missy I was going to do it. She goes, "I'm sure you will." So I had to throw it in. But I still thought it was pretty funny, Larry. Bitter half, not better half. All right. At any rate, the relationship thing is, though, that there's a level there that doesn't exist with a stranger that you pass. There's a relationship there, and an intimacy. I love you, Missy. There's a relation. There's a. I won't even look at who she is, so nobody will know. There's a. Some of you are like, "I ain't never coming back here." You got to understand, we got a relationship that goes way back, and we love each other, so it's okay for those of you who don't know. I won't pick on you every Sunday, but anyway. So we have this relationship, right, with our spouse that is intimate, and we don't have it with anybody else. And if a stranger comes along, listen, you might be courteous and you might be nice, but you don't have that intimate relationship. That's the difference between the relationship in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. Man, when you have that relationship with Jesus, it's intimate, man. You feel him. You know him. You want to know him. You get closer. You want to get closer. Listen, there's that love relationship. There is that desire that grows within you to learn more, to grow more, to get closer, to hang on tighter, to trust, to depend upon. I mean, listen, when you have this relationship with Jesus, man, you understand. And even like Job says, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." It doesn't matter because that relationship is so intimate. That relationship is so real, and it's so intense and so tight, you'll never walk away from it. But with the stranger, it's religion. It's, "Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Good to see you. God bless you. Take care." Right? You see the difference. And so what Paul is saying is, if your mind are on the things of the flesh, then you have that relationship with a stranger. It's just momentary. It passes, comes and goes. There's nothing really to it. But man, when you have the mind of the Spirit, you set your things on the mind of the Spirit, what you have is that intimacy with Jesus that nobody can shake and nobody can take. Then there's no condemnation because you know what you have is real. And you say, "Well, I think what I have is real." There's your first clue, it probably isn't. Right? "Oh, I love Jesus, but man, you know, he just can't do for me." I had a friend of mine who had his own business, and he would print. And if you guys do this, I'm sorry, maybe you'll learn after today. And so But he would make things for his customers, and it would say Happy Holidays. And I'm like, dude, you love Jesus? Yeah, I love Jesus. Why don't you put Merry Christmas on there then? And this is what he said. My customers give me $20 bills. Jesus doesn't. Oh, you guys had the same reaction I did. And I said, wow. So that means you love your customers more than you love Jesus. And he goes, no. And I go, oh yeah, they just bought you, buddy. They own you. And you go, that's not nice. That's not all I said. Wait until I'm done. Then you tell me it's not nice. Man, you sold out for a $20 bill. You got religion. You don't have a relationship. Because if you had the relationship, you would say, Jesus will sustain me and I'll stand on his side, not the world's side. If you had a relationship, you'd say, I don't care what my customer thinks. I'm going to give them an honest price, an honest product, and I'm going to treat them right. But if they don't like that, and that's what they're buying, I'm standing with Jesus. And they don't like the fact that I'm standing with Jesus, and they can move on because Jesus takes care of my stuff. You see the difference? Religion, relationship. That's not to say that you're not going to be overwhelmed sometimes, because guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. When my shoulder let go, and then I tried to take some stuff to help it, and then other things let go, and then I get home and I go to eat because I just drove 700 miles, and then I bust a tooth and it goes. I'm like, are you kidding me? Lord, you're still in control. Relationship. If you're walking around with doubt, then you have the mind on the flesh. Let's go back to 5, right? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What are you guys thinking about? Who do you trust, you or Jesus? Your customers, your friends, your family, or Jesus? Religion, relationship. You have to decide where you're at. We're promised deliverance in the relationship. We're promised death and condemnation in the religion. Please understand the difference. You cannot say, I believe in Jesus, and then deny anything in the Bible. You cannot say, I believe in Jesus and he's my Savior, and then agree with the lifestyle of some of the people that's going on today. You can't. Guys, there's a difference. Religion says, all this junk over here is okay. Relationship says, all this junk over here is sin. Do you see the difference? And Paul just says, listen, if you have the relationship, you're not condemned. But man, if you got religion, you have no hope. Guys, understand which one you have. I don't know your heart, but you do. Do you question this? Do you doubt this? Do you wonder if Jesus is really real? I'm going to say you have religion. Because the Bible says once you taste the goodness of Jesus, you don't turn away from it. You might walk away from it in sin, but you'll never deny his existence. Understand the difference. When you walk out of here, understand that religion, and I don't care, listen, I don't care what label you put on it. You can attach any label you want. Well, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Protestant, I'm weird, whatever it is. Attach it. It's not going to get you anywhere. Take all the labels off and just get it right down to the nitty-gritty, you and God. I don't care what you do or where you go. It's you and God. Do you love Jesus? And if you come up with anything other than yes, you have religion. Where are you at today? Carnal minds, can't please God. Carnal minds do not think of the things of God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I'm telling you, we are promised so much. But whose are you? What do you have? Religion or relationship? Religion or relationship? Religion or relationship? That's the only thing you have to settle. And if you believe in anything other than Jesus Christ, anything, anything, no exceptions, you have religion. Whether that is doubt, denial, or works. Hey, I could have done the three things there. Doubt, denial, or do-gooder. You have religion. Understand. And then make the adjustments. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to give you an opportunity today. If you're here and you've heard this message and you've sat there and you said, wow, those are some great questions. Do I love Jesus? Do I believe in Jesus? Have I really given myself to Jesus? Those are great questions, man. I got to think about that one. If that's you, you have religion. And you can say, well, Pastor, that's not so, because somebody could be doubting their salvation, listen, you still have a relationship problem. Because you've done nothing to understand it, grow it, or increase it. You're living in religion. I just want you to clarify it. I want you to get it clear. I want you to be right. I want you to know that when you walk out of here, that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you no longer have religion, you have a relationship. You can listen, we have victory through Christ. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, the first thing you got to do is check your heart. Say, here's how we check our heart. Do I really believe that Jesus is who the Bible says he is? If you say, I'm not sure, you have religion. Do I really believe that God created everything? God, the Father of Jesus, created everything. I'm not sure. There's a lot of stuff in other books. You have religion. Do I really believe that I am delivered? That if I have Jesus and I die and go to hell, that I'm going to be, I have no condemnation, I'm going to heaven. Do I really believe that? You have religion. You do not have a relationship. You say, well, how do we fix this? As you're searching your heart, Romans 10:9-10 says, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, will be saved. So I'm going to lead you through a prayer. Now understand, the prayer is just gives you a time stamp. This is the day that I surrendered my life. The words don't save you. It's in your heart. Do you really believe what the words are? That's what saves you. That's what gives you the gift of no condemnation. The words themselves are just words to walk you through it. But do you really believe? And if you do, I want you to pray this prayer. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he shed his blood, he conquered death and hell, and he's at the right hand of the Father. Those are the requirements according to Romans 10:9-10. If you believe that, then I want you to pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, today I surrender. Today I ask you to forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done. Today I repent of my sins. I believe what the Bible says. I may not understand it all, but I believe what the Bible says. And so Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through the word that I've heard, I believe in Jesus, therefore, I am saved. Father, thank you for this wonderful gift of salvation.